So we're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and we're studying, of course, the Sugya of Heilach. And I believe that we got up to line 5. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Line 6, Toshma. That's what I think we got up to.
That's right.
And the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya from the Braisa that Heilach is Chayav, which means a raya to the Shita of Rabbi Chiya, that there still is a Shvuas Moda Mimiksas, even in the case of Heilach. The Tani, Rami Bar Chama brings a Braisa, Arba Shomrim Tzrichim Kfira Bimiktas Vauda Bimiktas. So we're talking about a case of a Shomer Chinam who's chayv only for Pshia. He's part of Gneva Aveda, so he tithes that the animal was stolen. Or, alternatively, a Shomer Sachar who's chayv for Gneva Aveda, and he tithes in Bezdin that it was an ones. And a Shomer Sachar is part of Onsen. Shol's chayv even for Onsen, but he's part of what's called Mesa Machmas Molocha. So in any of those cases, the Shomer tithes what we call a tithes Ptur. However, he was Moda B'miktas. And according to this price of Rabbi Bar Chama, then, and only then, does the Shomer have to take a Shvua, which is called Eino Bershusi, that I'm not holding on to your object, I haven't stashed it away. Now the main Shvua in a case of a Shomer is what's called Shalosh Shalachti Bayad, that I didn't use your object for my own purposes. Now, if he wants to claim that the animal was taken away, let's say it was stolen or it died, ba'onis, then he's claiming that the behemah is no longer in his reshus, and he has to take a shvua of einu bershusi. Now, there is such a thing as gilgul shvua, that once he has to take a shvua of einu bershusi, because he cannot return the object, then the magadol on him another two shvuas, one shvua that lo pasha ba, and the other shvua of lo shalach bayad. So in and of itself, if the shomer would claim that lo shalachti bayad, then he'd be believed. However, if the object is not around, let's say the behemoth was stolen according to his claim, then Memela, once he has to take a shvua of Einu Bershusi, then through the operation of the mechanics of Gilgul Shvua, he's going to have to take a shvua of Shalosh Shalachti Bayad. And in fact, he's going to take three different shvuas. He's going to take a shvua of Einu Bershusi, he's going to take a shvua of Shalosh Shalach Bayad, and a shvua of Onis, which means Shalom Pashaba. Now this Braisa establishes that not every Shomer automatically, by definition, takes a Shrua of Eina Bershusi. It's only when he's Moda B'miktas. Which means, let's say, if he would claim, here is what I want to return to you, but what you claim that I owe you something else, I deny it. Once he denies some other element or object in the pikadon that the mafkid is claiming that he took, and the mafkid is claiming I deposited this in your reshus, at that point, since the shomer is moda b'miktas, then he has to take a shvuas hashomrim, which means that the animal is not in his reshus. So once he takes that, then the megalgil on him the shvua of lo pashaba, the shvua of lo shalachti bayad. Now, what are the arba shomrim that are indicated in this price? Number one, we have the shomer chinam. Number two, we have the shoel. Number three, the nosei sachar. Number three, the socher. So we know very well that the shomer chinam is part of everything, unless he was poshea. The Shoel is chai for everything unless it was Mesa Machmas Molocha. Where do we fit Nosei Sachar? He is a paid Shomer. And the answer is that a paid Shomer is called the Shomer Sachar, or Nosei Sachar. He's going to be Chai for Gneva Avid. His only Ptur is going to be Onsin. So his Chiv Shmira, his Achrais, is that much greater than that of a Shomer Chinam, but it's not as great as a Shoel, because a Shoel is Chayiv even for Onsin. A Shomer Sachar is not Chayiv for Onsin, but he is more Chayiv than a Shomer Chinam, because now we add to him a Chiyuv for Gneva Vaveda. So the only Ptur in the case of a Shomer Sachar is going to be Onsin. Then we get to the fourth category, it's called a Socher, that's a renter. So he's paying rental fees for the schirus, for the rental, and according to one opinion, he has the din of a Shomer Chinam. Why? Because you can't jack up his Chiyuv Shmira when he's paying for the right to use the object. So why should he have a higher level of Shmira? It's not like the case of a Shomer who's being paid for a Shmira. On the contrary, here, he's paying for the object. So that payment should limit his Chiyuv Achrayis. And he shouldn't be chayev for Gneva Vaveda, but rather he has the din of a Shomer Chinam. That's one shita. There's another shita. Yesh Shomer Shedino Kishomer Sachar. This is sugya later on in Daf Peyam and Beis. The Rambam actually paskins in Hilchas Schirus Perek Aleph, like that man Diyomu holds that his status is that of a Shomer Sachar, and he's chayev for Gneva Vaveda as well as Pshia. Okay. So again, as far as the Socher is concerned, we have two Shitas, whether he has a din of a Shomer Sachar or he has a din of a Shomer Chin. Okay, now let's go back to Modu B'Miktas. What's the case of Modu B'Miktas in Shomrim? So the case would be that he is kofir b'miktsas and modu b'miktsas. In other words, there are two animals. And the mafkid is claiming, I gave you two animals. And the shomer is claiming, I only got one animal. And here's the other animal I'm returning it to. So in such a case, says Rami Bar Chama, he has to take a shvua of modu b'miktsas. And that means that on the second animal, he has to take a shvua shalober shuso. And in that case, we have a Gilgul Shvua, and he's going to have to take a Shvua Shalo Pashati Ba, Shalo Shalachti Ba Yad. But the main Shvua on Eina Bershusi is going to be engendered by the fact that he was Modu B'Miktas. Interesting. Now let's take a case where the Mafkin claims he gave the Shomer three animals. Okay? Now, he's demanding that the Shomer returns him three animals. The Shomer himself on one animal says, I'm Mode. In other words, it's in my hands, in my possession, I have to return it to you. That already gives him the status of Mode B'miktas. On the second animal, he says, Lo Yadvarm Liola, I never received that animal. Or alternatively, I return that animal. That's already considered Kfira B'miktas. So he's Mode B'miktas on one animal, he's Kofir B'miktas on a second animal. Now he has a third animal, and on that third animal he claims Gneva, that it was stolen. Now, he's going to have to take a Shvu of Eino Bershusi based on the fact that he was Modu B'Miktas, that he admitted that one of the three animals he has to return. Once he has to take a Shvu of Modu B'Miktas, he's going to have to take a Shvu that he never got the second animal. And now, we're going to require a third Shvua, and that is that he wasn't Poshea, he wasn't Sholeach Bo Yad. Fine. Hechi Dami, the Gemara asks, what's the case? Because, ostensibly, this Brice of Rambam Rachami has nothing to do with our Sugya. So Gemara says, no, you know what the case is? Lav di Omer Lehelech? Isn't it a case where the Shomer confesses on the first animal, which is sitting there, you know, in the Shomer's backyard, and he says to the Mafkid, come and take it. It's yours, wherever it is. And we said that in the case of Shomer, there's an automatic Helich. Why is that called Helich? Because the Yad Shomer Ki Yad Baal Habayis. So wherever the object is in the hands of the Shomer, it's considered that it's in the hands of the Baal Habayis. And yet, the Braisa says that the Shomer has to take a Shuas Modu Mikzas on the Kfira, on that animal that he denies. The only way we can make sense out of this is if we introduce Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya is of the opinion that despite Halach, you still retain your status as a Modu Mikzas and Yechai B'Shvua, according to Rav Sheshes, who says that Halach is potter from a Shvua. This case of a Shomer, almost by definition, is a case of Halach. He says, I didn't return the animal that I took. Here's the animal. And once it's Halach, then, according to Rav Sheshes, there can't be a Shvuas Modu Mikzas. Because again, the logic of Rav Sheshes is that once he returns the object, there's no longer a dinu dvarim on that object. So what we're left with is a whole new dinu dvarim on the kfira. And on the kfira, he's a kofrat kol, so there's no chiyuv shvua. What are we going to do with this rice of Rami Bar Chama? So the Gemara answers, lo. You made a mistake. You thought that the animal is in the rishus, it's in the backyard of the shomer. And therefore, it's mezuman. He says to the mafkid here, here's your animal, come and take it. That's not the case, but rather, the Omar Le, the mafkid says to the shomer, Shalosh paras masarti lecha, I gave you three animals, and where are they? Obviously, you weren't a very reliable shomer. Is kula mesu b'pshia? So you have to pay for all three animals, and this doesn't matter even if you're a shomer chino, you're chay for pshia. The Omer Le'ihu, what does the Shomer respond? Chada, one of these cows, lo ha yudvar mi'olam. I never received it from you at all. V'chada, mesa ba'ones. It died through circumstances beyond my control. The animal died because the Malach Mavis came and took the animal away. But again, at this point, there's no animal alive. He can't say to him, Halach. V'chada, on the third animal, he says, Mesa b'pshia. That's the modu b'miktsas here. Which means that I have to pay you for that third animal because it died as a result of my pshia. To be ino shlume lecha, and I admit and I don't deny that I have to pay you for that. In such a case, the lav helechu. So he has to take a shvu of modu b'miktsas because on one of the three paros, he admits that he was chayef for pshia. The animal died or was taken away by pshia. On one of the animals, he denies that he ever got the animal. And on one of the animals, he says it was onus, it was no pshia. So now, we're going to be mechayev v'mishvua v'ena v'rshuso. And that's based on modu v'miktas. Has nothing to do with Rav Chiya because it's not a case of halach. The animal is not here in front of him at all. And basically, the odah is that he's chayv to pay and reimburse the mafkid because the animal died as a result of his pshia. But there's no halach over here. So on the other animal that he denies, either because he says I never got it, or in the case where he says it died ba'ones and there was no pshia on my part, he's chayv a shvua because modu miktsatayna yishava. And even according to Rav Sheshes, this is not a case of what? Of halach. So that's the piece of the Gemara that we wanted to add to yesterday's discussion, to finish up that sugya. And that's the sugya called Rabbi Chiya Basraisa, the second Rabbi Chiya. The second Rabbi Chiya deals with Halach. The first Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa, which is what we're about to analyze now, we had the sugya back on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chiya says that if a person denies the whole claim, but the Tovea brings two Eidim to support his claim on half of the money, then on the other half of the amount, he has to take a Shvuas Modu V'miktsas. So now the Gemara is going to come back and analyze that sugya, that halacha of Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa. Toshma. I have a braisa that seems to contradict Rav Chiya Kamaisa. The Tani Avua debay Aftoriki. The Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa. So we have now the Gemara is recording a dialogue in a braisa between Avua, the Rav Aftoriki, and Rav Chiya Kamaisa. And he says to him the following, Manoli biyodcha. I have a braisa that says that the mafkid or the malve would be more precise. He says to the lova, you owe me a mana. Halo omer ein lecha biyodai klum. He denies the whole claim, he's a kofra kol. Veha eidim mi'idin oso sheyesh biyodai chamishim zuz. This is exactly Rav Chiya Kamaisa. Yochel says the braisa, I might think yishova. Maybe there would be a shvua, al ashar, on the balance of the claim that he denies, on the part that he's kofar on. Because in this case, there's no shvua on half of the money because the eidim testify on half. So chamishim zuz, that's beyond question. On the other chamishim zuz, you might think he should take a shvua because in effect, he's denying half the claim. Talmud Lomar, I'll call Aveda Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. The Torah tells you exactly when you're Chayav Shvur. And that's Ki Hu Zeh. Ki Hu Zeh means it's not exactly the way you claim. Part of your claim is correct, but it's the way I claim. And I deny half of your claim. So now we have a braisa that's going to darshan a mute. When the Torah says, as an introduction to the Chiyuv Shvua, it has to be Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh, it means that the nitba, the defendant, is confessing part of it. I'm not going to say the entire claim is correct, but Ki Hu Zeh, part of it is correct. And that's Al Odas Piv Ata Mechayvo. You're only Chayv Shvua Modu Mitzas. In this particular case, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh, meaning there was a hodah from the nitba. But Iyato Mechayv Al Hodas Eidim. We have here an explicit braisa that's addressing the case of Rav Chiya Kamaisa and establishes that there's no Chiyuv Shvua. And Noch Litzi with the drasha, a mute, because it says, Al Kol Aveda Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. That's only the case of Odu Miktas. So the Gemara says, Masnisa Karamis Aleh, you're asking a kash on Rav Chiya from a Braisa. Rav Chiya Tanahu Poli. You're right. This Braisa rejects the principle of Rav Chiya. That doesn't in any way disturb Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya himself has a right to disagree with the Braisa because he's a Tanah. Now, there's an interesting discussion here in Tosfos Divrei HaMashchil. Divrei HaMashchil, where is it here? Just one second. Rav Chiya Tanahu Polig. Now, Tosfos says the following. It would seem from this Gemara that the whole issue about two Eidim who testify against half the claim of the nitba, where the mechayv mishvur, that's Rav Chiya. Hence, the Gemara says Rav Chiya could argue with any braisa that you have. But our girsin, the Gemara back on Daf Gimel, if you take a look again, is Tana Rav Chiya, which means that it wasn't Rav Chiya's original statement. This is not his own personal opinion. He's just transmitting a record of a braisa. So Tosfos points out that we have a different girsa than the girsa that apparently the Gemara was operating with. This Gemara is operating with the girsa of Amar Rav Chiya, not Tani Rav Chiya. This is a statement of Rabbi Chiya himself. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is that Rabbi Chiya has the status of a Tana and he can disagree with the Braisa. The Tosfos says, you know what? There's no real clear-cut proof. It could be that even if Rabbi Chiya is quoting a Braisa, and this is not his own opinion, what the Gemara wants to say is that you can't ask a kasha on this Braisa of Rabbi Chiya from another Braisa, because if that be the case, there's one Braisa against another Braisa. So now the Gemara asks the following. You know, it's very nice for Rabbi Chiya to disagree with the Braisa, but the problem is that the Braisa quotes a Pasuk in Chimish. And what are you going to do with the Pasuk? Frank, the Gemara Va'akraka Omar. The Braisa quotes a Miut in the Pasuk. So the Gemara answers, "Ahu lemode miktas ataina." So, what is the Gemara's answer here? The Gemara brushes off this pasuk, which seems to be memayit a case of edim, and the Gemara says, "No, this pasuk is teaching me the halacha of mode miktas ataina." So it's interesting. The Lashon HaBraisa, V'iyata Mechaivu al Ha'odas Edim, would sound like the drasha here in this Braisa is to exclude Modim Mitzas in the case of Ha'odas Edim. But Rav Chiya is a Tana, and he has the right to argue with this Braisa. So even though the Braisa itself rejects Rav Chiya, and through this drasha we derive the conclusion that Hodas Piv is Machayv, but not Hodas Edim. Rav Chiya himself has a right to say, no, the Torah is describing the case in which you're surely Chayv. And that's called Modav Miktsas. And now, we logically, and that's where Rav Chiya disagrees with this price, have a right to build a Kalvachomer based on this Yalfusa. That once we see Ki Uzeh, that the Torah is Mechayev Shvu in the case of Modav Miktsas, how much more so in the case of Ha'odas Edim, because Ha'odas Edim is always greater than Hodas Baldin. So just to summarize, the Gemara now says that there's Machlokas Tanoim between this Braisa and Rav Chiya about the nature of this Pasuk. What is the Pasuk intending to teach us? One approach is tended to teach us that Modav Miktsas is Chayav Shvuah, but only Modav Miktsas is Chayav Shvuah. And it's Kami Lafuki Ha'odas Edim. Rav Chiya has a different understanding of this Pasuk. This Pasuk is not coming to exclude Ha'odas Edim. On the contrary, we're going to derive Ha'odas Edim with a Kal V'chomer, but rather, this Pasuk is telling you that in the case of Modav Miktsas, you're Chayav Shvuah. Now extrapolate what's included on the Modav Miktsas. So you can say, well, Chamshin, Chamshin, or you can say, he denies the whole claim, but Edim testified half the claim. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Has the Braisa derived from this Pasuk that there's a Chiyuv Shvuah in Modav Miktsas Ataina? The Braisa says it explicitly, but where do you see it in the Pasuk? Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. And moreover, if Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh is coming to teach me a Modav Miktsas, how do you know that the Pasuk is coming to limit Modav Miktsas, limit the Chiyuv Shvuah to Modav Miktsas? Maybe the Torah is saying Modav Miktsas for Chol de Chavasa. You know, is any similar case, like for example, Hodas Edim? Where do you see in this Pasuk some sort of an exclusion of the case of Hodas Edim? So the Gemara asks, V'avua de Rabbi Aftoriki, what's he going to do with this Pasuk? Maybe this Pasuk is only teaching me Modav Miktsas Ataina, and we'll derive from Modav Miktsas Ataina with the Kal V'chomer Edim, the case of Rabbi Chiya. Amalecha ksiv hu uksiv zeh. It says Asher Yomar ki hu zeh. So there's a hu and there's a zeh. Chad, one of these two words, is going to teach me lechayev modav miktsas ataina shava, because he admits half the claim. V'chad, and the other word, I'm not sure which word it is, but the other word is going to teach me, could be the hu or the zeh, is going to teach me that ha'odas edim is potter. In other words, one pasuk is, I shouldn't say one pasuk, I mean we're dealing with one pasuk, but one word in the pasuk is telling me what is modav miktsas ataina. That's called Asher Yomar Ki Hu Ze. But the extra word Ze in the pasuk is coming to teach me something else. And that is to exclude Hadas Eidim. So we have an inclusion, a ribui, and a miut. Again, I'm not sure which pasuk, which word includes and which word excludes, but who, let's assume, is coming to teach you modu v'miktsas, he has to take a shvuah. And then the Torah limits it by saying ze. Only in this case of modu v'miktsas do you take a shvuah, not in the case of Hadas Eidim. So that's all great according to Avua Daf Ktariki, but what are we going to do according to Reb Chiya? Ve'idach, Reb Chiya, how is he going to deal with these two words in the pasuk? Because one word might be a ribui to teach me modu v'miktsas, but the other word ze is a miut. What's he going to exclude from the word ze? Chad lemodu v'miktsas. That we understood. Mogdus ha'tayna, that he has to take a shvua. V'chad lemodu v'min ha'tayna. In other words, you're only chayv a shvua when the da is on something that's included in the taina. So, for example, if the Toveya demanded Chitin and Siorim, and the Nitba would agree to Chitin and deny Siorim, or vice versa. So that would be a Shvuas Modem Miktsataina. So you have two cases. You have one case where he was Toveya both Chitin and Siorim, and he was Moda on one and denied the other. You have another case where he was Toveya only Chitin, and he was Moda on Siorim. So that's called Shalom Mimin HaTayna. And that's what the Torah is excluding here. You might think that let's convert everything from Be'en, so to speak, to Mamon, to abstract value. It's what we call Erech or Shavius. From a perspective of Shavius, if the Toveya was demanding Chitim, let's say it's to the tune of 100, V'Hodolo B'Sa'orin to the tune of 50, so in terms of monetary value, we have a hodah b'miktsas. We need now a miut to exclude this case from shvuas modu b'miktsas. And why are we going to exclude it from modu b'miktsas? Because it's not called a hodah mimin ha'tayna. I would say it this way. If Reuven is tovea chitim, what does that imply as far as Siorim is concerned?
He's not really tovea chitim, it's very money.
Oh, so that's one way of understanding it. And Enoch Hinami, from that perspective, we need a miut, because that would be modu v'miktsas. But what's the miut teaching me? Why is there no modu v'miktsas here when he's tovea chitim to the tune of 100, and Yenem is moda on 50 by saying siorim? That the tefillah was not on the value of chitim, but rather it was on the chitim themselves. Now, if tovea is tovea chitim, what does that imply as far as siorim is concerned? That he doesn't owe him anything.
How can you be Tovea Chitim? There's no, I mean, if it still might be Be'en?
Correct, you took from me, he's Chitim, you never paid me for it.
No. So he's saying, but it was intended to be used up. So, I mean, if it wasn't used up, like the Hilich from before, if it wasn't
or
used up.
Or maybe it was just a Pikado, maybe he just gave him Chitim and he asked him to watch it.
Pikado, then I take it back. If it's a Pikado,
right, I don't know exactly what the scenario is. I'm open to all possibilities. But my point is twofold. Number one, I'm making a point that the Tviya is on a Heftar, on a Be'en. It's not a Tviya in abstract monetary value. And the second point that I want to make is that since the Tviya was only on Chitim, that implies that you don't owe me any Sa'orim. So why should the Nitba, by being Moda on Si'orim, be Chayv Shvus Moda Miktsas? As far as the Tain is concerned, he was never Moda Miktsas. And that's what the Pasuk Zeh wants to teach me, that don't view Chitim as the abstract value of the Chitim, and Si'orim the same, and therefore he was Moda Miktsas. We view it as chitim and chitim mamish, and siorim siorim mamish. In this case, there's no shvuas mode b'miktsas, and that's called in the lashon hashas be'inon hodah mimin atayin. But if he was tovea chitim and the other guy was mode b'sorim, he's potur. Now it's interesting. Rashi points out over here that he's potter not only from a shvuah, but he's also potter from siorim. Now that's a bit peculiar. We have a principle called hodas bal din kibeya eidim domin. A person comes into Bezdin, turns to his friend, and he says, I owe you a bushel's worth of siorim. And Rashi says, you're potter. Why? Because he was toveh yuchitim. Now, it's a very interesting combination here. There's a moda, hodas bal din, in both directions. The toveh's moda that I don't have any claim on you on siorim. And the nitba is also moda by saying, I owe you siorim. So what do we do when we have a clash between two hodas bal dins? So Rashi says, in such a case, the toveh cannot claim that, or let's say it this way, Bezdin cannot force a person to pay siorin when there was hodah on the part of the toveh that there was no chiyuv siorin. So it comes out that hodah spal din, which denies any sort of claim, is in a sense stronger than the hodah spal din of the nitba who confesses to that claim.
Is the term hodah spal din ever used to forsake a claim?
I think so. Just,
yeah.
I think so, yeah, because if there's going to be any discussion about anything other than what I'm claiming, then I was moda, I never got that.
Nothing, but the term is used, okay.
I think so. V'idach, now that we go back to the brisa of Avuadaf, the Rav of Toriki, we now have a problem, because we use both psukim, one to be marba moda miktsas, and one to be mamayit, a case of Eidim. Now we're stuck because we don't have a source for the halacha that requires for a shvua moda mi minataina. So the Gemara answers, idach moda mi minataina lesle. The time of the Braisa has no exclusion for moda mi minataina. He goes back to the logic that compels you to say that this is moda mi miktsas, that ain't a finami. He has to take a shvua because we view the tviya not on chitim and oda on siorim, but we view the tviya and classify it as a tvias moment on the value of the chitin, and the hodah on siorin on the value of the siorim. Hence, we have a shvu of modu b'miktsas. This summer lake, Rav Gamliel, and this in fact is machlokus in the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos, Adaf Lamiches, Tano chitin modu lo b'siorim. The Tanakama holds pot Rav Gamliel mechayev. So the machlokas here is the following. Do you have a hodas bal din in a case where the toveh himself admits that I have no claim on that money? You know, out of the goodness of your heart, you want to give him back what you think is a return of his object. That's fine. You know, tovo lecha bracha. But there's no tainu tviya on that moment. As far as the halacha is concerned, you don't have to pay siorim if he was only toveh you chitin. And therefore the Chachamim say potter. Why? Because if there was no claim on that money, then there's nothing to talk about. Who would even entertain the possibility that he should pay this when there's no claim on that money? Rav Gamliel says no, that there is a chiyuv shvua by virtue of the fact that he is kofer on chitim and he's moda on siorim. So tano b'chitim olo siorim according to Rav Gamliel means just that he was demanding chitim. You deny the chitim. Okay, I can't be tovei you a shvua, force you to take a shvua because you were kofer kol on the chitim. But guess what? You were moda on the siorim. And Rav Gamliel says that the fact that he was moda on siorim is itself enough to generate a shvua. That's very interesting because he's going to take a shvua on siorim. As far as siorim is concerned, he was kofra kol. I never saw siorim of yours. Or I should say the other way around, chitim, right? He was tano b'chitim ha'odalop is siorim, right? So why is that hodah, according to Rav Gamliel, mechayev shvuas modu b'miktsas? Where's the hodah b'miktsas on the tvias chitim? On the tvias chitim, he was kofra kol. So that's what I'd like to suggest, that according to Rav Gamliel, and this brisa of Avua, etc., is supporting Rav Gamliel, they maintain that we look at the abstract value. How much is he claiming? And that's where we differentiate between chitim and siorim. Chitim is worth a lot more money than siorim. Okay. Now, Rabosai, according to one sheet, the ton of a chitim hold of a siorim, he's potter on siorim. And we want to know why. So I have here a note in which he introduces Rashi, the Yad Ramah, and the Rosh. Three different answers to the question as to why Tano Chitin, Vahodlos V'Siorim, he doesn't have to give him back Siorim. After all, Das Baldidi admits that he owes him Siorim. So Rashi says that the logic here, according to the Chachamim, is because there was never a Tvi on Siorim. There was never a Tvi on Siorim. Any money that Reuven doesn't claim, it's as if Reuven said to Shimon, I'll mochel you. Just wipe it out. That's Rashi Shita. Now we have the Yad Ramah. He writes, Kol zman she'ein tviya al siorim, yochel nitba, shahoda b'siorim lomer, mishate ha'yisi boch. We have a rule that Hodas Baldin is Machayev in such a way that if he comes back tomorrow and he says to Bezna, I was just joking around, I didn't mean it, and again, there's no objective evidence against him, he's not believed. Why? Because Hodas Baldin Kimei Eidim Dami. In other words, his Hodah now creates a reality that is etched in stone. He can't deny it. As far as Dini Mamon is concerned. The exception to the rule is going to be this case of Tano Bechitin Ve'odlo B'Siorin. Here he could say Meshat Anibach. The whole thing was a joke. Why? Because Hodah Spaldin only works with a Hodah that's offered, so to speak, in a face-to-face confrontation between the Tovea and the Nitba. Right? Let's go over this. If the Tovea claims chitin and the Nitba denies the claim, so in that case, if the Tovea has no evidence, he can't force him to pay chitin. Once the Nitba admits that he owes him chitin, he has to pay. What about if he comes back to business and says, I was just joking, it was a galefta? So we say to him, well, you were responding to a tviya. Until you machish that tviya is a tviya machayemis. We don't realize that the halacha puts a tremendous amount of power and emphasis on a tviya. The very fact that a person claims money in a court, that's machayem. You, on the other hand, as the nitba, have the right to be machish and to be kofer in that tviya. But if you don't exercise that right, then the tviya stands. Once the tviya stands, then you can't get it. We're not going to give you a second option tomorrow to blow away this tviya and say, oh, I was just joking. But really, I never took one single sheath of wheat. However, in the case of Tano Chitin, the Hodel of the Siorim, that's already a different category, because as far as Siorim is concerned, there was never a tviya on the Siorim. If there was never a tviya on the Siorim, then we go back to Meshat Anibach. His Hodah was not a Hodah Machayemes because it substantiates the Tviya. There never was a Tviya on Siorim. There was only a Tviya on Chitin. So basically, his Hodah Spaldin is not really Hodah Spaldin. It's a temporary kind of Hodah Spaldin. And if he never retracts, then in a finami we have a standing Hodah Spaldin. But he has the right to retract it, because it never gets the status of Hodah Spaldin unless it was in response to a tviya.
Specific.
So if he was Tovea Chitin and the fellow says, okay, fine, I owe you Chitin, that's it. That's irretractable. Why? Because that Hodah Spaldin has the status as such because it's a response to a tviya. But says the Yad Ramah, if there was never a tviya, then he always has the right to say Meshat Anibach, because then his Hodas Baldin is only a temporary, it's a a vulnerable Hagas Pachdin. It's subject to being undermined by the Modi himself when he says Mishat Anipa. So let's just check out the Nafkamina between Rashi and the Ramah. According to Rashi, just 1 second, let me just calculate this. What would be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Yad Ramah? Oh, what would be the case where he was Modin v'si'orim, and that was the end of the story? He never came back into Beis Din to remove that Hodah. In a sense, he insists on that Hodah. Yeah, I borrowed si'orim. Oh. So according to Rashi, it's meaningless. Why? Because according to Rashi, there is no Hodas Baldin unless there was a Tvi'ah. There was never a Tvi'ah on Siyor. But according to Yad Ramah, it's all an issue of whether or not he can say Meshat and Ibach. If he himself, instead of taking advantage of the opportunity of saying Meshat and Ibach, he's Shosei, then we can now accept his original Hodah and validate it. And he'd have to pay in that case. Then we have a third sheet, and that's the Rosh. So let's just review the Ramah. The Yad Ramah is saying that the status of his Hodah on Siorim is up in the air. It's sort of mitla toli v'kaima. It's suspended in midair. Whether or not that Hodah will be a mechayevus depends upon whether he utilizes his rights to say Meshat Aniba. And in this case, because it was never a Tvi'ah on Siorim, then the Modal Siorim has rights to say Meshat Aniba. If he doesn't exercise those rights, he's going to have to pay. Whereas according to Rashi, since it was never a Tvi'ah on Siorim, then that's like an upstanding, it's like a continuous mechila on the part of the Tovea. And if there's a mechila on that money, we cannot be mechayev the nitba to pay that money. The Rosh says that mitoch shelo tovo si'orim yesh bazeh hodas baldin she'eno chayev si'orim. He attributes this to the Rosh. I thought that was Rashi Shita. Just 1 second. How is that different than Rashi? Rashi's saying mechila, that since he wasn't Tovei Siorim, therefore it's an implicit mechila. And the Rosh is saying, not mechila, but rather the, let's read again, mitoch shelo tovo si'orim, yesh bazeh hodas baldin she'eno chayev si'orim. All right, but here it says that he, just 1 second. I'm trying to figure out how the Rosh is different than what we said before. He's saying that there's Hodas Baldin on the part of the Tovea that he doesn't have Siorin.
It's the difference between saying you were never Chayev or I'm giving it back to you.
Because again, Rashi said that there was an implicit Mechila. The Rosh is saying that it's not an implicit mechila, but an implicit hodah spaldin.
Right.
So try and figure out what the nafkamina is. You know, before we had a nafkamina, is whether or not he could say Meshat Anibach. That was the Yad Ramah. But now, what are we saying? The nafkamina is whether or not it's a mechila, or it means that it's not hodah spaldin. Yeah, it's not Hodah Spaldin. Just 1 second. Just give me 1 more second, I'm sorry. That why isn't it Hodah Spaldin?
Of the Tovea.
It's Hodah Spaldin of the Tovea. It's not a Mechila of the Tovea, but rather it's Hodah Spaldin. In other words, according to the Rosh, what this Machlokas is about, it's about nemanus. Who ultimately is believed? It's a funny kind of situation. You know, usually you say I owe you and I deny that I owe you. It's just the opposite. You say I don't owe you and I say I do owe you. It's like tzaddikim, you know.
You
So the Rosh says that what we're going to do here in this case is we'll have one Odas Baldin against another Odas Baldin. It's a very paradoxical situation because the Tovea now is categorized as a Odas Baldin that Yenim doesn't owe him Siyorim. And Yenim, who says, I do owe you Siyorim, believe me that I do owe you Siyorim. So Eyach Hinami, even according to the Rosh, there could be a Mechila in which the fact that the Tovea was Moder by implication, that the Nitba doesn't owe him Siyorim, and he could be Mochel, but he doesn't have to be Mochel. Why? Because he has a right to say, well, what's the din in this case? Whose Hodas Baldin is more powerful? Who should the Bezdin be believing? Should they be believing the Tovea who says, you don't owe me Siorin? Or should they believe the Nitba who says, yes, I do owe you Siorin? We don't know who to believe.
And if he's Chayev, I'm not willing to forsake it. I won't.
Right, and if Bezdin comes to the conclusion that his Nemanis is greater than mine, or shall we say it this way, that the power of his Odas Baldin is greater than my Odas Baldin, then I want him to pay me up. Whereas Rashi is saying that the very fact that he was Tovea Chitim is ipso facto a Mechila on Siyorim. So I'll read it to you again, just to summarize. So Rashi's Shita is that the reason why the Chacham say he doesn't pay Siyorim is because there's a Mechila on Siyorim, on the part of the Tovea. The Ramah says that the reason why the Nitba is not going to be paying Siorin is because he says Meshat Anibach. And the Rosh is going to say that since he wasn't Toveim on Siorim, that creates a din of Hodas Baldin, that Ploni is not Chayv Mi Siorin. On the other hand, we have Hodas Baldin on the part of Ploni that he is Chayv Siorin. So how do we adjudicate between these two Hodas Baldin? So you have what's called a Hodah Keneged Hodah. And in a case of Hodah Keneged Hodah, we don't know what to do. We can't do anything. That's what you call Shevi Al Taseh. So Bezdin, in the case of Trey Utrey, are going to apply the principle of Uki Mamona Becheskes More. Wherever the monument is, that's where it's going to stay. So there's no way they can be Mechayv the Nitba. Even though he's Vodah on Siorim, because his Odas Baldin against his Odas Baldin. There's no Mechila, but it's one Odah against the other. So what would be, for example, if, according to the Rosh, the Tovea was Tofes? He grabbed the money, or whatever the object was. Let's say the Chitim. He went into the house, stealthily into the house of the Nitba, and he walks out with a bushel of chitin. Can we force him to cough it up? So it could be that this is the sugya later on called Tokfa Kohen, where if you're saying uki mamona v'cheskas more, because you have trey and you have a suffix, then it could bounce back and forth like a ping pong. And it all depends on any given day who's muchzok and who's tofesit. That's not so according to Rashi, insofar as there was a Mechila, and if there was Mechila, then he, the Tovea, cannot Chozebo, he cannot rescind his Mechila. And therefore, we're going to have to leave it now, the Siorin, in the hands of the Nitba. According to Yad Ramah, given the fact that the Nitba is claiming Meshat and Ibach, then he basically undermines his whole Odas Baldin. In the Rosh's frame of reference, there is a logical possibility that the Tovea will collect chitim, and that's when he takes the law into his own hands. That's what I call tfisa. Why? Because now, according to the Rosh, we're operating with the trey situation. We don't know which Hodas Baldin outweighs which, so we're left with a stalemate. Right? The Israelis call it teku in chess in check. And chess, and in the case of a stalemate, we have to, basically, we're out of here. Bezdin has to say, had itself from Avinu say, Ramti is Yodli. I don't know what to do in this case. And then Beis Din turns their back to this case. Now, while Beis Din's back is turned, then the Tovea could grab something. And by the way, I can see why he's motivated to grab something. Not simply because he loves money, but he's motivated to grab it because he claims that this no good nitba is holding on to his chitin. So he makes a cheshvin. Look, I can't get my chitin back because he's denying the chitin. But Chachi was moed on Siorin, I'll catch him on Siorin. Even though it's one odo against the other, and therefore Beis Din is shevi altas, I don't know what to do. But in this case, the Tovea would be very well, it would be a good, solid piece of advice that he should grab onto the Seorim. He can't grab onto Chitin, by the way. That's impossible because the Nitba denied that he ever owed him Chitin. But he could be Tofes the Seorim. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. Now, if you want to join me, we'll learn a little bit of Chulin, and we'll try to figure out what that could be.